वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय यं प्राव्रजन्त मनोपेतमपेतकृत्यं द्वैपायना विरहकातरा जुहाव पुत्रेति तन्मयतयो तरवो विनेदुस् तं सार्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि नारायणं नमस्कृत्या नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रयेष्वबाद्रिषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भावति नैष्ठिकी We're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Brahma's Prayer to Lord Krishna, Text number 12. Ukshepanam garbha gatasya padayoho kim kalpate matuhu adhokshaja आगसे किम् अस्ति न अस्ति व्यपदेश भूषितम् तवा अस्ति कुक्षेः कियात् अति अनन्तः उत्क्षेपनं गर्भगतस्य पादयोः उत्क्षेपनं गर्भगतस्य पादयोः किं कल्पते मधुरधोक्षजागसे किं कल्पते मधुरधोक्षजागसे किमस्ति नस्ति व्यपदेशभूषितम् किमस्ति नस्ति व्यपदेशभूषितम् तवस्ति कुक्षेः कियदप्यनन्ता तवस्ति कुक्षेः कियदप्यनन्तः उत्क्षेपनं गर्भगतस्य पादयो किं कल्पते मथुरदोक्षजागसे किमस्ति नस्ति व्यपदेशभूषितम् तवस्ति कुक्षेः कियदाप्यनन्तः देशभूषिताम् Asti kukshe kyadatyananta. Anandarmagatasya padayo. Kim kalpate matu Utkshepanam, the kicking. Garbhagatasya, of a child in the womb. Padayoho, of the legs. Kim, what? Kalpate, amounts to. Matuho, for the mother. Adhokshaja, O Transcendental Lord, Agase, as an offense, Kim, what, Asti, it exists, Na Asti, it does not exist, Vyapadesha, by designations, Bhushitam, decorated. Tava, your. Asti, there is. Kukshehe, of the abdomen. Kiyat, how much. Api, even. Anantaha, external. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O Lord Adhokshaja, thus a mother takes offense when the child within her womb kicks with his legs. And is there anything in the existence whether designated by various philosophers as real or as unreal? That is actually outside your abdomen. Purport. Srila Prabhupada comments as follows on this verse in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Volume 1, Chapter 14. Lord Brahma, therefore, compared himself to a little child within the womb of his mother. If the child was in the womb, plays with his hands and legs, and while playing, touches the body of the mother, is the mother offended with this child? Of course she isn't. Similarly, Lord Brahma may be a very great personality, and yet not only Brahma, but everything that exists is within the womb of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord's energy is all-pervading. There is no place in the creation where there is no, when it is not acting. Everything is existing within the energy of the Lord. So the Brahma of this universe, or the Brahmas of the many other millions and trillions of the universes, are existing within the energy of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord is considered to be the mother, and everything existing within the womb of the mother is considered to be the child. And the good mother is never offended with the child even if he touches the body of the mother by kicking his legs. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki. Utkṣepanam garbhagatasya pādayoh kim kalpate matur adhoksa jāgase kim asti nasti vyapadesha bhūṣitam tavasti kukṣe kiyadapi anantaha. O Lord Adoksaja, does a mother take offense when the child within her womb kicks with his legs? And is there anything in the existence, whether designated by various philosophers as real or as unreal, that is actually outside your abdomen? Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Vitamsya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Ajanulambita Bhujo Kanaka Vadato Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Taksha Vishwambaro Dvijavaro Yugadharma Palo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karuna Vataro Yantah Pravishya Mama Vachimam Prasuptam Sanji Vayata Kila Shakti Darak Svadamna Anyam Shahasta Charana Shravana Tvagadim Pranannamo Bhagavate Purushaya Tubhyam. Hare Krishna. It's a great honor for me to speak in front of all of you. I feel myself completely undeserving and unqualified, but I'll try as a service to all of you to say a few words about this particular verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Brahma, being the original teacher of the whole universe, very clearly understood his mistake. And he is expressing the very essence of the faulty mentality of living entities in his prayers. And the main point which he makes again and again and again is that my problem and my fault was that I tried to measure you, who is unlimited and immeasurable. This is a very basic characteristic of a human mind or any conditioned mind in this universe, because we are here to measure everything. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving a very beautiful definition taken, I believe, from Vedic literature of Maya. He says, Miyate anaya iti maya. Maya, by the very definition, is our attempt to bring something closer to us to measure it. Miyate means measuring. In fact, English word measure is coming from the Sanskrit word miyate. Miyate anaya. Anaya, you approach, you bring it closer to you for this very purpose. You want to measure it. And iti maya. If you try this, it means you are in maya. And we have to very clearly understand how it works in our own mentality to understand how deeply we are in maya. People, they have this habit, they want to measure everything, and they're coming closer to others just to measure them. They look down at people, you know, and basically that's a very standard mentality. Whoever we looked upon, we just try to see how he is less than myself. This is basically the main reason why we are coming closer to anything. We just want to show I'm greater than you. You know, there is a standard kind of dialogue between two people with big ahankar. Who you think you are? And the standard answer is that who you think you are? You know. Who are you? You know, and I am, it's obvious who I am. I am the Lord of creation. And who are you? Who you think you are? So, that's unfortunately the manifestation of our pride, and we're looking at everything with this particular mentality that we want to measure how big it is. Yesterday, Srila Radhanath Maharaj was explaining that one teaspoon is trying to measure the ocean. And teaspoon says, I'm a very big teaspoon. I'm not an ordinary teaspoon. I'm a big teaspoon. Let me measure this ocean. So, and that's exactly what we are doing constantly, on a daily basis. And that's the reason why we are here. And unless we change this mentality, unless we change this particular outlook of the world, unless we change this approach to everything which we see, we will not change our situation in this world. We will remain in this world, we may be little higher, little, you know, we may get position which is little more advantageous
to measure everyone. You know, getting a higher position, we may take lower position, but you know, it will all remain the same. Because this is the reason why we are remaining in the limited world. In this world, everything is limited to facilitate our desire to measure. Everything is limited, and we are very enthusiastically taking this opportunity to measure everything. You know, the famous example is one king, you know, I don't know which number, king number, George number, whatever. You know, he said that from now on, the measure of all things will be my foot. So since then we have the foot, the measure of all the things, his foot, you know. His foot is the measure of everything, you know. This is, you know, this is a ridiculous example, but basically that's what we are trying to do. This is my foot, now I will measure, I will put my foot everywhere. And this is what is going on, and this is the problem of the human mind or conditioned mind. Miyate anaya iti maya. That's maya. When we are trying to measure another to prove our own greatness. Our attempt to measure everything and anything in this world or everybody is just basically to prove to oneself that I am greater. Because the very fact that I can measure something means that I'm greater. You know, like scientists, the very good example of this are scientists because they're trying to measure everything. In fact, the modern science, it is just an attempt to measure, you know, whether you measure a little atom or you measure the big universe. You feel good when you're measuring universe, you know. it's ridiculous, you know. But the mentality which is behind this, I know what it is, and I know what it is means. I can measure it. Yeah, it is little greater than me. That's fine. You know, I know how much greater it is. But because I'm measuring it, I'm greater. Because I am doing this, I am ultimately greater, you know. Then when the scientists are trying to do this, is the very approach stinks. It's rotten. The approach is rotten because what they are trying to do, they are trying to measure everything and anything, and for that they have to really, and again, this is another manifestation of human mentality, to measure something or somebody, you have to make it dead. This is my confession in front of all of you. I'm a scientist, you know. Sometimes some people, and Pradhanand Maharaj, they want to say he's a PhD scientist. All the time when I hear this, this is a big humiliation. It reminds me about this very problem which I have. So when I was biochemistry scientist, and I was trying to study the life. But how the scientists are trying to study the life? By killing. That's the only way to study the life. According to the scientists, you take a rat and you kill it and say, this is life. this is how life works. But this is a problem. This is a problem which manifests in so many different ways. And the problem of pride, which particularly manifests in our approach. And when we are proud of ourselves and when we approach other people, we approach them by trying to measure them. Look, by pointing out, this is your quality, this is your quality. All the time we are doing this. You know, what is the greatness of a real saint? What is the greatness of Srila Radhanath Maharaj? Yesterday, so many devotees spoke about this, that is, he's not measuring. He's accepting, and accepting means not measuring. Accepting means he's approaching people with a different purpose. When we approach people, we just try to look down at them and, you know, measure and see, yeah, this is this, and this is it, and this is it. But accepting others means you take different position. You look at them not from up, you look at them, you know, by accepting. You know, who you are, who you think you are to measure others. We are nobody, and again, this is a mistake. You know, there is a very interesting example about the scientist, coming back to our, to my favorite topic. And Prabhupada, that's why he was so heavy about the scientist. Sometimes people don't like it. You know, Prabhupada said, I kick him with my boot. You know, he's trying to do with scientists exactly what Lord Brahma is saying, I did with you, O Krishna, by kicking you. So I kicked Darwin by my foot. That was Prabhupada's disgust about this very attempt. Because again, this attempt is just to create problems. Scientists think that by this approach we will solve all the problems. They create problems. Because ultimately this is not going to solve the problems. It will aggravate the problems. So a beautiful example of it is very interesting. Recently I read an article. This is new achievement in the modern astronomy. The astronomers, before, they used to say there was a big bang, bang, you know, and the universe appeared. Haribo. Very nice news, you know. As a result of this big bang, they're a little crazy. It's a natural result of a big bang, because, you know, and something big explodes, you know, there is some problem with the brain. But anyway, so the before there was this big bang theory that at one point, you know, something, some vacuum, you know, exploded. How the vacuum can explode, you know, is, don't ask me, ask them. But it exploded anyway. So, but now they say the new theory is that it explodes all the time. It doesn't explode once. It explodes again and again and again. And the new theory, which is very recent, one English Oxford astronomer, Penrose, together with one Armenian astronomer, they found out, due some observation, that there is a cycles in the universe. And they explained in a very beautiful way the life cycle of the universe. Again, the attempt to measure how the universe lives, for how long, and this and that. And they say that universe, first it explodes, something explodes, and then, you know, the universes appear. And then after some time, after billions and billions of years, and they know the exact number of years, it goes back to the black hole and remains in the black hole for some time to energize itself, and then the black hole explodes again and the universes appear again. And when I read this, I heard, yes, this is written in Srimad Bhagavatam, this black hole is the pore in Mahavishnu's body. You know, the universe is coming from this pore, and then, yeah, and for them it's a big black hole, you know. And they specifically say that the universe is coming into this black hole to get energized again for the new explosion. You know, it's a new theory, but by coincidence it is described in Srimad Bhagavatam 5,000 years back. But again, this is how it works. They're trying to discover something which is already discovered. And ultimately, when they study, if they're really good scientists, they will come to understand this is what Brahma is confessing here. He says, I tried it. I am an original scientist. And that's a fact. Brahma is an original scientist because he was the one who dove deep trying to find the origin of the universe. When he was born on the lotus, you know. He was the one who was, by experimental way, was trying to find out the cause of all causes. It didn't work with him. You know, he couldn't. And here he says, again and again and again, the same thing. He says, Gyane prayasu udapasyana manteva. He says, the first thing which you have to do to understand God, and to understand anything in this creation, to understand yourself, to understand anything in fact, the first thing which you have to do, Gyane prayasam udapasya namanta eva. You have to get rid of this attempt to understand something with your brain. Gyane prayasam udapasya namanta eva. What you have to do, you have to bow down. That's the way understand anything. To understand anything, you have to bow down. This is the secret of Vedic culture. The Vedic culture teaches this very low that if you want to understand something, you have to worship this. And our anything which we do in this world has to be an act of worship. When the musicians in the modern, you know, world play, they play because they just want to show how they're great. When the musician in Vedic culture plays, he first bows down and pays his obeisances to the instrument. I'm not playing. I'm an instrument. I'm worshipping this instrument so that I can perform something. And whatever you take, you know, if we take any act, the teaching, the essential teaching of Vedic culture is to teach us how to worship everything and anything. And, you know, modern people, they mock and deride this Vedic culture. They say this primitive people, they worship stones, they worship trees, they worship rivers. Yeah, but they're not primitive people. Ultimately, they worship God. But because they worship God, they worship everything else. This is a beautiful and very powerful point which Srila Radhanath Maharaj made yesterday. He said, if you're humble, you're humble in front of everything. And if you are not humble in front of anything, you are not humble. You may temporarily accept a guise of humility in front of somebody who is great just to get something from him. But this is not humility. Humility means you are humble in front of everything. And ultimately, we have to be humble in front of God. And our lack of humility manifests in this desire to measure everything, to say, I'm greater. So this is the teaching of Vedic culture, to teach us how to live in this world in a proper way without destruction. It is also beautifully described here in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where this is the only verse where the name of Srimati Radharani slips out from the lotus mouth of Shukadev Goswami. What he says? Anaya radito nunam. Miyate anaya iti maya. Maya means I bring something closer to me to measure. Srimati Radharani, by teaching us by her example, Shukadev Goswami says what she does. Anaya Aradhito Nunam. Why she is called Radha? Because she is the best of the worshippers. Because whatever she brings closer to herself, Anaya, bringing closer, Aradhito Nunam, indeed. Whatever she does, she is worshipping. Whatever we do, we are trying to measure. And that's the difference between Maya and the situation or position outside of Maya. This is what we are supposed to learn if we want to change something categorically within our heart. This is what we are supposed to learn in Krishna Consciousness Movement, how to worship. How to worship each and every devotee. How to worship the Lord, but not only the Lord. That's a mistake which Prakriti Bhakta usually does. He says, yes, 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 I worship the Lord, fine. But I will measure everyone else. Look how great I am and how bad you are. That's a mistake. And this means materialism within our brain, within our head. That's why the beginners are called Prakriti Bhakta. They're materialistic devotees because the same mentality is there. They accept, formally they accept the Lord. But that's a formality. There is no real acceptance of the Lord in a real sense. And as I said, and it's a very, also very important point, unless and until this mentality is there, the destructive this mentality means destructive mentality. This very mentality means the destruction of everything around you and the destruction ultimately of yourself. You know, ahankar is the destructive element in this creation. That's why Lord Shiva is the destroyer. He is coincidentally the Lord of Ahankar. He is the Lord or presiding deity of the false ego, and therefore, you know, ultimately, because his false ego is, you know, he destroys everything. This is explained by Lord Shiva himself in Brihad Bhagavatamritam. In Brihad Bhagavatamritam, when Narada Muni comes to him and praises him and saying, you are the best devotee of the Lord, you ask the mercy of the Lord to the greatest extent, Lord Shiva becomes very morose and says, this is a mistake. Look what I did. I was fighting with my Lord. I was fighting because of ahankar, because of false ego. And ultimately, that's what we have to very clearly understand. Why do we have to die? Because of false ego. Those who don't have false ego, they don't die. They become immortal. They get the immortality, the nectar of immortality. The false ego is the very cause of destruction, starting with our own self. We're destroying ourselves. The false ego, we can study it very beautifully. There are so many examples, and our own example is closer than anything to us, how our false ego is destroying everything, destroying our lives, ultimately. So, therefore, this is what we have to really clearly understand, and this is the teaching of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is saying here, you know, I did this mistake, please forgive me. Somebody, he says, somebody may measure, you know, he's coming again and again and again to this point. Somebody may measure, Srila Radhananda Maharaj was explaining, all the flakes of the snow and all the atoms in the rays of the sun, you know, but he will never be able to measure you. This is what I have realized. This is the humility. And, you know, until we have this mentality, the curtain of Maya will always be in front of our eyes. We will never see the Lord. With these eyes, which are trying to measure and trying to envy and trying to, you know, to show or to prove our greatness, with these eyes we cannot see the Lord. Premanjana churite bhakti vilochanena santah sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam syama sundaram achintya guna svarupam. You will be able to see the achintya guna svarupam of the Lord only when you change your eyes. The mental eyes which we have, only if we have the eyes which are smeared with the salve of love, premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena, then only maya will disappear. Before that, we will suffer. Before that, there will be sufferings just because of this little bug within the program of our mind. You know, this is the bug, you know, which you have to discover and get rid of. You know, it's a small bug, but it's there. So that's what it is. We will be deprived of this nectar of connection with the Lord. And when the connection with the Lord is there, then all the problems are solved. Unless this is solved, this problem is solved, we will remain here, suffering one way or another, until it is completely eradicated. You know, the problem with the false ego, the big problem with the false ego is that, you know, we know about the liver. The liver can regenerate itself, even if there is some, they say, if 10% of the liver is there, it can totally regenerate itself. You know, but the problem with false ego is that even if 1% of it is still there, it can totally 100% regenerate itself. It's a complete regeneration. With no time. For liver, it takes some time. For false ego, you know, you get humiliated, you know. Krishna arranges something. Krishna beautifully arranges so many different lessons for us. He arranges one lesson after another lesson after another lesson, just to show how insignificant we are. And, you know, for the time being, our false ego getting a little diminished, but we keep a little bit for the future. And, just few minutes later, you're again proud. Just before you were so humble, you know, something happened to you, some suffering. And usually it's suffering. Sufferings makes us humble. Therefore, sufferings are good. People in this world, they don't like sufferings. You know, nobody goes to astrologers and asks astrologers, please explain me how to get more sufferings in this world. I need it, because otherwise I am so proud. Nobody says this. Everyone goes and says how to get rid of all the sufferings which are there. But sufferings are good because it's a bitter medicine. When we get some suffering, we become a little more healthy, but we keep the very root of the disease inside, the false ego. It's just little. We are very humble, you know, very humble. Just little ahankar should be there, otherwise how I can survive? Right? How I can protect myself? You know, ahankar is good because ahankar is just, you know, ahankar is a very nice protective device in this world, right? So, this is the problem. The problem is that we keep little bit and then it grows up to the full size. Very quickly, without noticing. And Krishna says, yes, this guy is again needs some little treatment. Some bitter treatment is necessary. because actually only bitter taste, the bitter taste is the most medicinal taste. You know, the sweet taste is the most horrible taste. The sweet taste is the cause, according to Ayurveda, it's the cause of all the ama, all the toxins which are there. And if you want to get rid, you should take little bitter things. You know, this mahatikta grita, mahatikta, So this Mahatikta Grita, very bitter Grita, is given by the Lord on a regular basis to keep us little healthy. Otherwise, it's not possible. Therefore, Krishna himself says, Dukhalayam Asashvatam. That's the reason. Sometimes people say, you know, why, if God is good, why did he create such a miserable world? Exactly because he is good. That's the exact reason why he created such a miserable place for us to live. Because if it was not, you know, anyway, we would create miseries anyway, even if he didn't try it. But that's again, this is the root cause. And this is what happened with Brahma. Brahma, he got little bitter medicine, but again, you know, comes back. You know, he is now in Vrindavan, and in Vrindavan he is a little humiliated. And he is humble, and he is seeing Vrindavan. He is seeing the beauty of Vrindavan. Actually, the first verse of this prayers is very beautiful. Naimidyate bravapuse tadidam varaya gunjavatam sa paritichalasan mukhaya vanyasraje kavalavetra vishanavenu Lakshmasriye mridupade pasupanga jaya. It's amazingly beautiful verse. Lord Brahma says, he sees Krishna. He sees it, and he's again wondering, you know, you're so simple. Gunjavatamsa. You have this gunjamala, and this gunjamala is not jewels from Vaikuntha. And you are so simple, you know, you have this paripichhalasan mukhaya, you know, you have this peacock feather, and you know, you have all these simple flowers, and mridupade, your feet are so small and so soft, so tender, mridupade, and pasupangajaya, you live among this pasupangajaya, those people, you know, pasupanga, those who keep animals. You're born from this very low people. He is actually praising Krishna's humility. He says, I'm so puffed up, I'm a big creator, I have four heads. You know, and look at me. And why I'm so puffed up? Kavi Karnapur actually says that Brahma wanted to use his intelligence as a yardstick to measure Krishna's powers. But then he sees this, exactly because Krishna didn't manifest his opulence. Brahma is used to reciprocate with Krishna in a different form, and this Sahasrashirsha Purushaha, you know, this is the favorite hymn of Brahma, you know, this Sahasrashirsha Purusha, the Purusha with thousand heads and thousand eyes and thousand legs is living in Brahma's planet, in Satyaloka. This Purusha is there, you know. And Brahma sees this, and you know, this is his conception of the Lord. So many heads and so many eyes and so many legs. And when he sees only two, only one head and two arms, and he's, you know, it cannot be God. And he sees all these simple things. And in the first verse, he exactly says, you know, that somehow or other this Maya disappeared, and I am appreciating your greatness, which manifests in simplicity. People, proud people, they cannot appreciate simplicity. They cannot, because, you know, for them simplicity is not very valuable. So Brahma is saying this, I couldn't do this. You know, the Samacharyas say that what really freaked out Brahma is that Krishna kept this yogurt and rice in his left hand. And that was too much for Brahma. You know, he's a Vidhi. Vidhi means all the rules and regulations. And Brahma said, he's God and he doesn't know that you are not supposed to eat with the left hand. What kind of God he is? He is, and Krishna, just to mock him, he's still keeping this in his left hand. He's saying, Jesus, look. Forget about these rules and regulations. I'm here in Vrindavan. I'm not for the rules and regulations. I'm just... this is a different purpose, different thing. And, of course, you know, in these prayers, the Lord Brahma, he is speaking from the heart. He is expressing his appreciation. And ultimately, what he says, and this, that was an introduction to the verse which we read today. Anyways, so but what he says here, it's actually very interesting. He ultimately says that, you know, I realized your greatness, and I realized that my mistake was that I couldn't appreciate your greatness, which manifested as a simplicity. Because, again, because of this mentality. You know, people with this measuring mentality, they can appreciate great things, you know, they still measure them, but they still can appreciate them. But when they see something simple, you know, no, forget it. They can't appreciate this. And Brahma says, yes, I realized my mistake. I know that the millions and trillions of universes are coming from your body like the atoms from the window, like the little particles of dust. When you see the window, you know, and the rays of the sun is coming, you can see the little particles of the dust. And he says, this is what universe which I am ruling off is in comparison with you. So small and insignificant it is in comparison with you. But here he says, actually he gives to Lord Brahma three reasons, to Lord Krishna, three reasons why Krishna should forgive him. He gives three reasons. First in this verse, second in the next verse, and the third one in the verse after that. He said, first reason, the main reason is that you are like mother. He says, I'm in your womb. And when the child is kicking mother from within the womb, mother is not offended, rather mother is happy. He says, you should be happy because I kicked you. And he also, by the way, he also says adoksuja. Adoksuja means Krishna who was lying under the cart and he was kicking the cart who killed this demon. He says, you also kicking, so you know. You know, you know. I'm kicking, you are kicking. So this, I mean, after all, you were forgiven. Please forgive me. He says, when I was kicking this, and, you know, when you were kicking this, all this, you know, Bridger buses, they forgave you, so you please forgive me, I also kicked you. So we are more or less the same. That's why he calls him Adhoksaja. Adhoksaja means one of the meaning of this word, Adhoksaja, one who was born again under the cart. So he is reminding Krishna about this. So this is the one reason, because the mother is the most forgiving. Then he says, he gives even more serious reason. He says, this is the, you know, he's approaching Lord Brahma with this, you know, approaching, Lord Krishna, saying that you are merciful like a mother, and ultimately this whole creation is your womb, so, you know, what is unusual for you? Then he says, you're like father. And he says, father, you know, he doesn't take seriously, you know, all the offenses of his son. He is also forgiving. This is the father nature. And it's little more strict condition. Fathers are little more strict than mothers. He first say, you're like mother. Then he says, you're like father also. That's another reason why you have to forgive me. And then the next verse says, ultimately you are Narayana. Narayana means... you know, all the living entities are within you, and therefore you're very tolerable. You should tolerate me as well. After all, you're tolerating everyone else. So he gives these three reasons in the, you know, he finished describing his mistake and describing the greatness of Lord Krishna, and here he gives to Lord Krishna three reasons why he should be forgiven. He's begging forgiveness from Lord Krishna. But ultimately, we have again to understand that the main lesson which Lord Brahma and Lord Krishna, in fact, are giving here to us is that we have to really be humble and worship everything, each and every living entity, because this is the manifestation of Krishna. Any particle of this creation we should worship. You know, ants we should worship. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that this is one of the problems of a living entity, that we commit violence towards others. Therefore, this is the mentality of a real Vaishnava. And when the real Vaishnava develops this mentality, then a very amazing transformation may take place. This is the last thing which I will say, explaining this drama which took place 5,000 years ago in Vrindavan. You know, sometimes when we hear Brijbasis talking in front of Krishna, they are very proud, isn't it? You know, if you read some Rasika literature, you know, you will see there's a lot of these proud statements. I read recently, Sridham is speaking to Krishna and says, "Krishna, why you're so proud?" He's saying, you know, why you're so proud? I will show you. Sridham is challenging Krishna. He is trying to fight with him, and he's saying, you know, why you're so proud? I will prove to everyone that I am stronger than you, and you will carry me on your shoulders. I will be on your shoulders very soon, you will see it. And he says, why you're so proud? You're proud because you killed Putana, right? It's not you who killed Putana. It's all the brahmanas who chanted mantras. They killed Putana. And why you're so proud? You think you killed Agasura, right? But you forgot that we entered in the belly of Agasura first. There's no reason for you to be proud. And then he says, why you're so proud? You're proud because you lifted Govardhan Hill, right? You know, but you didn't lift Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill was so happy with our worship that Govardhan Hill just jumped in the air himself. You know, you shouldn't be. There is no reason for you to be proud. So, this is Brijbasis, and we are not supposed to imitate them. You know, we come in front of Radha Gopinath and say, you know, who you think you are? It will not be very pleasing to them. You know, devotees on a very high level, they can do this. there was one great saint in Vrindavan, and once he came to the temple, and he, you know, he stood in front of the deity of the Lord, and then he turned his back to the deity of the Lord, which is in itself quite offensive, because you're not supposed to turn your back, you're supposed to, you know, kind of go by your face. And then he started kind of kicking his legs, you know, by, you know, making these movements of the legs so that, you know, the dust of from his foot would go to the Lord. And then somebody asked, why are you doing this? He says, Krishna himself says that I'm following my devotee to get some dust from his feet. And that's exactly what I'm doing. He wants it. Anubrajami, Mad Bhakta. Krishna says this in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he says, this is what I'm doing, because he wants some dust from my feet. So the point is that we are not supposed to do this. This is on a very high level. Krishna takes pleasure in this reciprocation with the great devotees, but on our level we have to become humble. The main teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is universal, and all these things is a manifestation of the deepest possible humility. When Sridham says this, or when Srimati Radharani gets angry at Krishna or when whatever. It's the manifestation of the deepest possible humility. It's a strange manifestation, but still it's a manifestation of real humility, of real bhakta. So the general teachings, which is again and again and again manifested here in Srimad Bhagavatam, is that we should develop the real humility without any trace of false ego, by understanding who Krishna is and who we are in front of Him, by understanding our real position and developing qualities of kindness, humility, forgiveness. This is all qualities which Lord Brahma is saying. You know, this is what the devotion is. Devotion is not just a slogan. Bhakti not a slogan. Bhakti is the condition of the heart. And Lord Brahma is teaching us how we should become humble. Anyway, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Please be Hare Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Maharaj. You know, this point you are explaining very, very striking about how we want to measure others rather than accept them. And then you are also explaining how Vedic culture means worship and modern culture is like measuring, which is a manifestation of the false ego. And then you give the example of a Kanishta Adhikari who worships God but is measuring everyone. So I wanted to share, ask you this question because, you know, I don't know whether it's a slightly different experience, but I know some other devotees also have this experience that when we are new, you know, we worship Krishna, we worship God, and we also like all devotees and we respect them, we consider them. I know we are naive, we are maybe foolish, but we have that simplicity, you know, that innocence is there, we like everything in bhakti. But as we grow older, we become managers, we understand the, you know, issues in so many things, we become a little cynical, and then cynical, and then the simple things we're not able to appreciate, you know, we become suspicious, and then sometimes we are assured by our seniors, don't worry, you are becoming mature now. But more than mature, I feel that, you know, that innocence is lost, and how can we again love everyone and have that simplicity in Krishna? And how we can, because, you know, all that is okay, management and everything, but then there is no, the taste is not there, then anarthas come up. So how do we become simple? How do we become what you are saying, you know, being simple at heart? How can we become, not measure others, how can we actually become like this?
Yeah, when we come to bhakti because we underwent this very powerful experience of conversion, this powerful experience keeps us humble for some time and gives us a lot of, you know, good energy to go, and we really like everyone. But then again, you know, because we kept a little false ego, you know, ultimately you just kind of become familiar and false ego grows back and you say, yeah, right. I know all these bhaktas, I know them. They're all pretenders, you know. Before you saw everyone is a pure devotee, you had this Mahabhagavata vision, you know. Everyone is a pure devotee, only I'm a rascal. But then very soon, everyone is a rascal, I'm a pure devotee. The switch is kind of... again turned on, because, you know, the pride was still there. And this is when the real work starts. The real work starts here. This is called bhajana kriya, when you associate with other devotees and try to, you know, befriend them and try to take care. Therefore, this is so important. The main teaching of Srila Radhananda Maharaj is that you have to remain in the society of the devotees, and in the society of the devotees you have to manifest the three kinds of relationship. The care for those who are junior to you, the friendship for those who are equal to you, and the worship and respect towards who are senior, this is the work, the daily work which we have to do to keep, to reduce our ego again and again and again. And especially, therefore, Maharaj so beautifully, he stresses this association with equals. Because in one sense it's easy to be caring with juniors, and it's easy to be respectful to seniors, at least externally. But it's very difficult to be really friendly with equals. So this is the real kind of cure for the ego. And when this relationship are established, in this relationship, especially in the relationship with equals, you keep the simplicity. Because what is simplicity? Simplicity is... and if your heart melts in this relationship, then the simplicity comes back. That's the only thing, you know. If the heart melts in the relationship, then the simplicity comes. Because the simplicity is a condition of melted heart. Of the heart which is... Then if the heart is soft and kind of melted due to relationship, the simplicity is there. The natural respect is there. Actually, respect, care, friendship is the natural qualities of the soul. The pride is unnatural. It's superimposed upon the soul. And simplicity is also very natural virtue of the soul. So when in this relationship we rediscover, and relationship means the relationship between the soul and soul, between heart and heart. Otherwise there is no relationship. There is no relationship between false ego and false ego. Well, there is a relationship. It's called clash and fighting and whatever it is. So the simplicity comes back when there is relationship, and therefore Maharaj stresses this point. Simple. Very simple. And yesterday had this beautiful program, and it was so brightly manifested and shown there, you know. That's what he wants. He teaches bhakti, but you know, and bhakti is for the Lord, no doubt about it, but you know, to learn bhakti you have to be in the society of devotees and you have to establish yourself in a very proper way in the society of devotees. Yes, Padaji.
Thank you, that was a very nice class. It's nice to hear more about the false ego. It's not really explained enough, I feel. I had a question.
I was speaking from my own experience.
I was curious, the false ego, can it be, when we start to try to go in this process of purifying our false ego, can it, what exactly happens to it? Does it get eradicated? Does it really start to disappear? Or is it just that our mind is simply being able to control it more? And what are some practical things we can do to help to control the false ego on a daily basis? Thank you.
Well, Lord Krishna explains what false ego is. Ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. The false ego is this mentality, kartaham. I am karta, I am the doer. These two aspects of false ego is kartritva and boktritva. The agency, I am the doer, and the enjoyership. Doership and enjoyership. Kartritva and boktritva. So, You know, the false ego is the very foundation of enjoyment in this world. In fact, you cannot enjoy without false ego. So because you have this understanding, I am this and I am that and I achieved this and I am doing this and look what I am, what have I done, look how charitable I am, look how good I am, look how caring I am. You know, so many different manifestations of false ego are there. If this concept of I is there, then accompanying this concept of I will be the concept of mine. This is my achievement. This is, and I am enjoying the fruits of my actions. So the simple recipe of Krishna, which he gives in Bhagavad Gita, how to control the false ego, is that to understand, I am not the doer, you are not the doer. And not to try to enjoy the fruits, because this is what reinforces the false ego. The enjoyment of the fruits of our actions is what feeds our false ego on a daily basis. Look, you know, this is coming for me. Krishna explains this in the 16th chapter when he says, you know, Ishvaraham Aham Bhogi. So what is this? Yeah. Siddhoham, I am perfect. Balavan, I am very strong. Sukhi, I am very happy. I am very happy in this world. This is how false ego works. You know, I am enjoying in this world because of my intelligence, because of this and that. So, this is the mentality which we have to be very watchful about. I'm so intelligent. You know, who you are, you know, you're not so intelligent. You're not Albert Einstein and, you know, what to speak about Lord Brahma. And so this concept, I, false ego, I achieved this, because of my skills, I am a very expert player, I am a very expert speaker, you know, so I am very caring. This is all different concepts of false ego, and therefore on a daily basis we have to watch, and especially during our sadhana practices we have to chant in a proper mood. I am not the doer, nothing depends on me. Krishna is everything, you know. The only thing actually which I can do, I can create mess, that's for sure. That's, I am very expert. And we all know this by our own lives. We create so many blunders and mistakes. So this I mentality, you know, whatever concept of I, so the only thing, you know, the concept which we should have, how we should exchange this, I am the servant. I am the servant of the servant of the servant. This is I. This is my real I. And we have to be very watchful during the day, during our sadhana. We have to be very, I mean, we have to come to this consciousness. Nothing depends on me. But during the day, we should not try to enjoy the fruits. You know, something comes to me. Why? Because of my greatness, of my skills, of my good qualities. No, I'm undeserving. I'm just getting it because of the mercy. Mercy of the devotees, mercy of people. So that's our actually practice. This is called bhajana kriya. Bhajana kriya means you're trying to serve. You're trying to be in this mentality of a servant and not the mentality of the Lord of my survey, you know. Happy and strong and, you know, beautiful and intelligent. No. We're not. Or sometimes we try to enjoy the creation by being the most fallen. I am the most fallen. You know, when somebody approached Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I am the most fallen. Prabhupada says, you're the most nobody. Yeah. You're nothing the most. You're the most insignificant. So anyway, that's... it helps. And of course, being with the devotees, as I said, is the key. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, I have a question about like for a sadhaka. So we are practicing sadhana bhakti. So in at sadhaka level, person has to have some human aspect. One of the most basic, some of the basic human needs are like respect and appreciation. So where does it fit in our philosophy of even 0% ahankar and 1%? I want to just reconcile both of them.
See, yes, that's a fact. The basic human need is the need to be respected. And being in the society of the devotees gives an ample opportunities of getting the respect. As much as we get a lot of prasadam, right? That's also a basic human need, you know. But the point is that we should never demand respect. As much as we should not demand prasadam, you know. Just give me this prasadam or that prasadam. I deserve that much or whatever. We accept. So, with humble heart we accept prasadam, and as a response of this we try to develop gratitude, which is antidote. You know, if we're getting respect and taking respect and not manifesting antidote gratitude, then the respect which we get will have a poisonous effect. It will be tonic, it will be vitamin for our false ego. And false ego is not satiable. It, you know, you will never get the position when you say, I'm sick and tired of all this respect. Forget about it. I don't want it anymore. You will always to have, you know, you always want to have more and more and more, you know. And those people who are not careful, they become like, it's like a drug. This honor becomes like a drug, and you want more and more and more. You want to enjoy this. Therefore, there has to be, you know, whenever we get the respect, which is good, but we always have to be grateful. As much as, you know, if somebody gives us prasadam, we have to be grateful. Whatever we get, and we'll get. Krishna is giving ample of opportunities to get. But in return, we have to be... We have actually to try to, every time, to do little more in return than we got. You know, and you, of course, you have practically at least 6 months a year in front of you, the example of Srila Radhana Maharaj. If somebody praises him and respects him, immediately he responds something, you know, and you can't figure out how he's able to counteract your praise so quickly. You know, he's just returning it, and sometimes returning it 10 times or 100 times more. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. Yes, it's neat, and we cannot deny unless we reach a very high level when we're completely satisfied in ourselves, in our heart. But then we have to also be careful about it. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Radhanath Maharaj ki jai.